Praise the Lord. Thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful that I can go in, a sinner saved by grace. And praise the Lord for that. I love that song. And choir, you do such a great job singing that song. And I believe we have a birthday this week. I believe, Nick, you have a birthday? Yeah? All right. And anybody, any other birthdays this week that I've missed or forgot? All right. Man, let's sing happy birthday to Nick.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Again, welcome to Back the Blue Sunday. And we're so thankful for all those that have served in uniform, wore the badge, military, all those working in any type of public safety. And so we're very thankful. We got something here that the ladies made up at the Above Rubies thing last night. It's called a survival kit. We'd like to, if you've served in any capacity, even in the past or present, if you would stand at this time, you worked in public safety, just go ahead and stand. You guys have done, I know y'all have, but all right there. And Brother Gene, you were military. If you were military, all right. All right. Yes, yes, Steve. And then we got Chris back there. Let's give these guys a hand. Yes, yes. Kids, come on up. I want you to come up here and get these things and hand out to these people that are standing. And we've got... Take one of those. I want you to take one to the Comptons. I want Jesse to get one. And then take one to Mike Valet, because their son's in military. And so they're out there in the white truck. And they're outside, yeah. And then we have some. There's some left over. If you have a family member that's here that's served in some way, I want y'all to take one, give it to them. And just take them and give them. You see a police officer, just say, hey, we appreciate you. Thank you. You see a firefighter, just take it up to them. Say, hey, we appreciate you. EMS, what have you. And we're so thankful. If you would, turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 this morning. And I'm very, very grateful. We want to highlight just what the Bible has to say about the officer. And I want to preach to you for a few minutes about how God used the officer and God's heart for the officer. And I'm grateful for all those that have served, whether it be in whatever capacity it was, in corrections or EMS, fire, police, and military. There's many other areas of public safety. We're so thankful for those. I served in EMS back many years ago, and I remember I was in college and I was looking into a career as a PA, and that was kind of an up and coming, a new thing then. And back in those days, very, very competitive, very hard to get into those programs. And there was only one program in the state of South Carolina where I was from, and that was in Charleston. And I called them and I said, hey, what do I need to do to get in your program? And so you can do what you're doing, but also you need healthcare experience. So how to do that? So why don't you get your EMT? So I was like, okay, I'll do that. So I went and I signed up for EMT school. And there's a couple guys, you guys probably know them, Scott Pingle and Brian Hart. They were my instructors, and it taught me EMT school. And it was interesting. And then I got a job at EMS. And I didn't know what I was getting into. I'll tell you what, I was just starting out part time, just kind of working my way through college, and then it took me a while to kind of get my feet wet, figure out what I was doing, you know. And but man, I found when I joined, got into that, I got the bug, you know. Man, I it was addictive. I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. And what I found was a family. There's like a bond, and unless you've been in that, you really can't understand that. But if you work in law enforcement, you work in EMS, you work fire, whatever capacity, public safety, there's like a bond there that you share with those people that you serve with, and it's a very strong thing. I've got friends to this day that I worked with that I still keep up with, that I've met in the fire departments and EMS and in police. And And that was just a wonderful thing. I'm very proud of that part of my life. I enjoyed that immensely. I loved it. Loved every minute of it. It was a wonderful thing. And I tell you, one of the most moving things I've ever been to was a funeral for somebody that I served with. If you've ever been to that, that's just when they play Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, I don't care who you are, it'll bring you to tears.
Amen.
It will move you. And when you hear the last call, that's one of the most moving things. And but I'm thankful for the officer. And the Bible has much to say about the officer.
Amen.
If you look in the Bible, a lot of times we skim over these things, but the God has a heart for the officer. He has a love for the officer. He used the officer, and I'm going to show you why. But if you look at history, almost every at the forefront of all errors of history, there are wars. Okay? That's what these are, defining moments of history, are wars and battles, and these are fought by the military. And how much those men and women are willing to give, and how much those men and women are trained, will often determine the outcome of how that war goes. I mean, you think about the history of this country, how it would be vastly different if certain things did not turn out a certain way in battles, in wars, and we're thankful to our military. And in our passage here this morning, we have a man. It says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So when we look here, you're going to see this man named Cornelius. He's a centurion. But when you think of the word centurion, I want you to think officer. The word centurion is used several times in the New Testament. And what was a centurion? A centurion was a military man. He was an officer. Centurion was the backbone of the Roman army. That these men were bestowed with a great amount of trust and responsibility. There's many mentions of centurion in the Bible. You know, when these men, when they said something to happen, it happened. They had just a great amount of respect that was given to them, and these centurions, they had a responsibility. They were over 100 men. That's a lot of responsibility if you are over 100 men. And so a lot of responsibility, a lot of clout. And I want you to look at what kind of man this man was, this Cornelian. He was in a band called the Italian band. Now, history would tell us that the Italian band was like a special forces. That was a military unit that was in the Roman Empire. That was the most loyal and most productive, and they were the best fighters. There was nobody better than the Italian band. They were the best of the best. And God used him. God used centurions all throughout the Scripture. I want you to think about the centurion or the officer. It was the officer, the centurion, that was at the crucifixion, that he made the statement. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. It was a centurion that saved Paul's life from the mob in Acts chapter 21. It was the centurion, it was the officer that later stopped Paul from being flogged to death in Acts chapter 22. It was not the church, it was not the Jews, it was an officer. And he had no obligation to Paul whatsoever. I want you to see what a favorable light God has placed upon men in uniform throughout the Bible. It was a centurion who looked after Paul in Acts chapter 24, and they gave him the liberty to receive guests. It was a centurion. It was an officer that heeded Paul's advice in Acts chapter 27 when they were on the ship in the storm in the sea. It was a centurion. It was the officer who protected Paul from being slain with the rest of the prisoners later on in Acts chapter 27. It was a centurion. It was an officer who was a captain of the guard in Rome, and he provided Paul a separate place where he could be by himself. If you like to read the New Testament, all right, the epistles that Paul wrote, which was over half the New Testament, you know, it was a centurion that put him in a place where he could be by himself so he could write, and he was allowed to people to bring him books and manuscripts, and he could write under divine inspiration what we have as the New Testament. The officer. Are you tracking with me this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Are you tracking with me? God, he loves the men in the uniform. He loves them. He has a heart for them. God backs the blue. He backs the blue, and there's a narrative going out today that's wicked and straight from hell.
Amen.
That we should defund the police, and there's just like an anarchist movement. And this is from hell. This is just a raise up against authority. That's what it and it's wrong. And I tell you, I want to make a stand as a pastor of Mount Sebatt. The Mount Sebatt, we back the blue.
Amen. Amen.
We're for it.
Yes, sir.
God is for that. God is for in Romans 13 that we subject our, we submit ourselves to authority.
Right.
And 1 Timothy talks that we should pray for all those that are in authority.
Yep.
And we see that God, He has a heart. And Paul, you know, Paul said that I'm a debtor, both to the Jews and the Greeks, bond and free. You know, why would Paul say that? Why would Paul say that? What did they do for Paul? If you read into the context of that statement, when Paul's, what he's saying is saying, God's been so good to me that I'm indebted, I'm obligated to share the gospel with all of these people. Because what God did for me, He'll do for you.
Amen.
But you know, you what about us? And you think about people, we owe a debt of gratitude. We're the same way as Paul. We have an obligation as Christians to share the gospel. But also you think about, what about our military? What about people that served in public safety? What about that? You know, we owe a debt of gratitude. You know, there was over 200,000 Allied soldiers that lost their lives in D-Day alone. You ever read that, the story of D-Day?
Yeah.
D-Day and Stephen Ambrose. That's amazing, amazing read. Oh, my goodness. What an operation that was. What an operation. That was just the people come together to stand for freedom. You know how different the world would be if that would not have happened at Normandy. That was an amazing thing. You know, there was over 300,000 U.S. lives lost in World War II. You know, because of that sacrifice, you and I have had the opportunity to grow up in America as we know it.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things out there, ideologies, bad people that would carry out their plans if it wasn't for command presence of our military during peacetime. And we have no idea. We have no idea what's going on. We have no idea the command presence that keeps things the way they are, and you enjoy liberties as you know it, because they prevent things from happening all over the world. All over the world. You know, there was 255 police officers killed in the line of duty just this year, and this year is not even over. Right here in America. They lost their lives. You know, because of the service of those in public safety, I mean, I can sleep well at night, and I can know that if there's something that happens, I can just pick up my phone and call, and somebody's going to come and help me.
Amen.
All right? If my house were to catch on fire, I can dial a number, and somebody's going to show up, and while I'm running out of that house, somebody's going to run into it. Okay. If I have a cardiac event, I can call somebody. They're going to be here. They're going to give me state-of-the-art life-saving measures. And we have that here, and I'm thankful. We need to thank these folks. We need to appreciate these folks. And I'm tired of people that have just an entitlement mentality. You know, I what is an entitlement mentality? It's this mentality that you know, everybody owes me something, and I don't answer to nobody, and I just do what I want to do. That is wicked. If you have that mentality, that is very selfish.
Right.
That's a taker mentality. Don't be a taker. Be a giver.
Amen.
See, people that serve in public, they're givers. We're going to see that here. They don't go into that if you're not a giver. You don't go into that for money.
Yeah.
No. They have a heart to give and to help. And we'll see that here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what your life would have been like if we lost World War II? Can you imagine? You know, have you ever read? Can you imagine how the world would be different? Have you ever read about the Holocaust? Have you ever been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C.? That's something you need to see. And those images, once you get them in your mind, it's hard to ever get them out. You see emaciated people walking around. They look like just literal walking dead, and it's just the horrible things that happened to people by the Third Reich. You know, have you ever read about how the Japanese Imperial Army, they treated their prisoners in World War II? You read that book. Read the book Unbroken. Wonderful book. It's hard to put down. But you know, if we would have lost World War II, probably our country would have looked something like this. I'd say somewhere on the eastern half would have been taken by the Third Reich. The western half of the country. country, probably would have been taken by the Imperial Army of Japan. And, you know, and if you grew up, if you lived your life and you lived in that type of a world, and I asked you, I says, what would you do? What would you give to get out of that and have your freedom back? You would say, you would tell me, I'd give everything. There's a lot of men that did. Yeah. What do you think of them?
Amen.
Can you imagine living in a society where there's nobody working in public safety? You know, that's what Minneapolis looks a lot like that about right now. I've been to a lot of places in the world where there's no infrastructure of fire, EMS, police. There is nothing. There is no 911. There is no E911 dispatcher waiting on you on the other line of the call. In those societies, it's just the rule of the jungle, the law of the jungle. The man with the biggest stick, he's in charge. And those type of societies where there is no infrastructure like that, I tell you who suffers the worst. You know who suffers the worst? The women and the children. They're treated awful. Awful. And, you know, we have a wonderful thing. In America is one of the most civil countries in the world. You know, when you think about the term civility, you realize that America is one of the only countries in the world where a person will pull up to a red light at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's absolutely no traffic on the road, and they'll wait for it to turn green. Nowhere in the world does that. Everywhere in the world, most places in the world, when you're driving, whoever gets there first has the right of way. You ever drive in India? It will scare you. If you ever drive in Africa, oh my goodness. That's the most dangerous thing you'll ever do in another country is drive. It is terrifying. All right. I'm thankful. You know, that we have over 1.2 million people in military. We have over 1 million serving in public safety. We need to reach these, but we need to thank them.
Amen.
God has a heart. He has a heart for the officer. You can see all those examples I gave where God used. He used the officer. He used the centurion. He's got a heart for him. Why does God love these guys so much? And I love these guys too. I love them. Why does God want to reach them so much? Why does he use them? We're going to see. Let's look at what kind of man this was. Let's look here in verse number 2. It says that, and he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And let's look on down here. Let's just read on down through verse number 8. It says, he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called unto his household servants and a devout soldier of them, and waited on him continually. And when he declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. I want you to see, if we look back here in verse number 2, we'll see why God used the officer. Now, the first thing is he was a devoted man. And verse number 2, it says, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. All right, you know, godly fear is the beginning of wisdom. Not only he feared God, but he was a devout man. These type of people, they're devout. They're devoted to their job. They're devoted to their duty. If you read over in Acts chapter 16, you have the Philippian jailer. And Philippian jailer was in charge of that unit. And when the church began to pray and Paul and Silas began to sing, and then God sent an earthquake and the shackles and the chains fell off and they went free, what did the Philippian jailer do? He was ready to fall on his sword, wasn't he? His duty was the most important thing to him. If his security was compromised, he just assumed give his life. That's the type of person we're talking about, an officer. Devoted. You know, when I got into EMS and I got kind of, man, I just really enjoyed it. I ended up doing it full time. I ended up going on and in EMS, you got EMT basic, you got EMT in South Carolina, is intermediate, and then you have paramedic. And I just went on. I went out and got my paramedic. And when I got out of college, man, I went full-time in EMS for about a year and a half and did that. And I just absolutely loved that. I loved it. And I had my first partner I started out on a non-emergent truck in Greenville. And I worked for a company called MedSure, or it was AMR back then. But his name was Ronald Wood. And we were the youngest crew there. And we were Medic 31. Man, we had so much fun riding around Greenville. And we worked 12-hour shifts. But my partner, Ronald Wood, he was not only an EMS, but he's also a volunteer fireman. And he was devoted. He loved it. He loved it. And you know what he did when he got off shift? He lived in Anderson. I was from Anderson, too. And he would drive to the Homeland Park Fire Department. And he stayed there. He lived there. Why'd he live there? Well, he didn't want to miss a call. He lived for that. He lived for that. Guys, they'll carry their pagers because they don't want to miss out on a call. They love that. And he was devoted. And he was always there. Now I believe if I'm not mistaken, he's the captain. He's the chief. I mean, he's the chief of that fire department. But I mean, it was a time of devotion. And people, the officer is devoted to their job and they love it. They love the service. It's just something. And that's what we see here. Not only was he devoted, but he was a giver. He was a giver. The Bible says here in verse number 2, he says, which gave much alms. Which gave much alms. again, you don't go into this type of work if you're a taker. You don't. I mean, you got a heart for giving, and you know, you give of yourself. And most people that go into this line of work, they do. They want to do good. They have a heart. They have a heart to do good. They want to give. They want to make a difference. And so. This man was a giver. And this Thursday, many of us are going to get together in small groups, I hope. that's what they're trying to see. No big groups this year, right? But you're going to get together with your family. And however many, that's up to you, whatever. But you get together with your family. There's going to be a lot of people working on Thanksgiving. When I was at EMS, man, I signed up. I worked every Thanksgiving, every Christmas, because at that time I was single. I didn't have a wife and kids, and I just always felt like, hey, you know, let these guys be with their families. I'll work it, and I just loved working. I loved it. I would take the extra shift. I was, when there was an overtime shift, I said, I'll take that. And you know, I just remember when I got out of college, I worked at Greenville County EMS. In Greenville County EMS, we did 12 hours, 2 days on, 2 days off, 3 days every other weekend. And so I had 2 days off a week. And on 2 days off a week, I'd do my 12-hour shifts. And I love Greenville. I worked in the city, Greenville County. It was a 911 only system. And those were the best of the best in those days. And I love that. I loved it. It was great. And then my 2 days off, I would go to a little rural area of South Carolina called Iowa Rescue Squad. And I'd pull a 48-hour shift. Because I loved it. I loved it. I just loved it. And that was crazy to work that many hours. And I, you know, but the reason why I want to pay off my college tuition. And so I did that. But I enjoyed the work. Enjoyed the work. I enjoyed the experience. And I enjoyed just that camaraderie. And I didn't do that for a real long time. Maybe about five months or so. But you think about that when you're eating Thanksgiving meal. There's going to be a lot of people in the military that aren't with their families. And they're giving of themselves. And they're providing a service. Okay? So you can eat at peace. And, you know, there's people that, somebody's still got to staff the ambulance. Somebody's got to still run and make sure there's somebody available if something happens and we need police. Chris, that guy, he's always on call. Always on call. He might be with his family, might not. He's always on call. You know, it's just whatever. And so these guys are givers. And Cornelius was a giver. And then the third thing we see that he was sincere. He prayed to God always. He wanted to do the right thing. He was praying to God. He was seeking God. He was very interested. He was sincere about what he was trying, how he was trying to live his life. He did not have a Bible like we have. He did not have the church like we have. Yet he prayed always. The commentators, they say that this man Cornelius was a Gentile at the gate. In other words, you know, there were Gentiles. There were what we know as Gentile proselytes. They could not be a Jew because he was not Jewish. He was Gentile, but he could not be a Jew because he did not have the bloodline. But you could be a proselyte in the Jewish faith if you believed in Jehovah or Yahweh. But he, you know, there was something. You know, he could only come to the temple gate. He couldn't go all the way in. He wasn't allowed to. But he's still seeking after God. He was praying always, and there was something that was holding him back. He was seeking God, and God was hearing his prayers. God was very interested in his life. And we'll see how that's going to play out here in just a minute. And in verse number four, it talks about, and he looked up. There's an angel that came. Verse number three says, an angel of God come to him, saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked up, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers and thine alms are come up before a memorial before God. So he called on this angel. The Lord came to him. He said, your prayers are come up for a memorial. And yeah, I want you to think about that. You know what memorials are for? Memorials are built so you'll never forget something. If you ever go to Washington, D.C., one of my favorite things is going and seeing all the memorials. I love to go to the wall. I go to the Vietnam Wall. I love to go to that. I love to go to the World War II, the Korean. All these memorials are all there. They're there so we do not forget. I hope to see the one for the trade centers in New York City sometime. But in this passage, the angel is telling Cornelius, he says, hey, Cornelius, your prayers have come up before God as a memorial. God will never forget your prayers. God hears your prayer. He doesn't forget your prayers. And he is an officer. He did not have a church. He was a devout man. He was a giver. He was a praying man, but he was not a saved man. I want you to see that. It's very important. He had not been saved. And now he used every bit of life that he had. And God took note of that. You know, he was as dedicated as he could be with what he had. I want you to see God's heart for this man. God prepares a man named Peter to reach this man.
Amen.
This Gentile man. You know, the angel tells him to send messengers to Peter, who is now living down by the sea, and he's in a place called Joppa. And so Cornelius, he sends a soldier, he sends two of his servants. And let's pick up here in verse number 9. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, this is a very interesting thing, how things are converging, how things are coming together. And so he goes up there on the morrow. He said he was getting close to Joppa. This was about a 33-mile walk. So they walked 33 miles in a day. That's moving. That is hustling, if you can do 33 miles. And so they go, and they were getting close to Peter's place. They're right, it's nigh, they're close. And God's bringing this all together. He is all-knowing, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's going to make the pieces work. And so about the same time, you know, Peter, he's about the sixth hour, it's around noon in Jewish clock, and he's praying to God, and he has a dream. And God sends a dream to Cornelius, God sends a dream to Peter, all right? And he sends all this food. Peter's probably hungry. It's about lunchtime. And he sends this food down, but this isn't kosher food. This would be, you know, things that Jewish people are not supposed to eat. All right? The Lord tells Peter in this dream, he says, Peter, I want you to rise and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. And that is like, I tell you, I can so relate to Peter. That's something you don't say to God, not so. You don't argue with God. Peter would. Peter, several times in the Bible, Peter would debate Jesus. He would debate, and Peter was hard-headed. It took him a while to come around to things. I can be like that sometimes. Maybe you can relate to that. But he says, not so, Lord. He grew up saying, these foods are not kosher. And the Lord says, no, rise and eat. So what's God trying to do? He's saying, you know, this guy's not Jewish, but he's a Gentile, but I want him. I want to save this man. and I want you to go reach this man. I got a plan for this man's life, and I want to use him for my glory, and I want to use you, Peter, to reach this man. God is preparing Peter to reach this officer. You know, the God who made it all, the God who hung the stars, the God who knows the sand upon the shore, as the kids sang earlier tonight, that, you know, he knew Cornelius' name, and he was orchestrating a chain of events to reach Cornelius. He knew his name, and he knows your name. He knows your name. He's got a plan for your life. You've never been saved. He wants you to be saved.
That's right.
You see, God's heart for people here, and specifically his heart for the officer, and that God's timing is amazing in our story. You know, while Peter is doubting, let's look over here in verse number 17. It says, now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Right when he was doubting, he says, what does this all mean? These men show up at his house where he's staying. God brings his timing, his way is perfect. And called and says, verse 18 says, and called and asked whether Simon was surnamed Peter were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, I will go with him, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So we see here that that Peter goes down in verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent from Cornelius, said, behold, I am he whom thou seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? So these men, they you know, Peter goes to pray. These men, they show up from a 33-mile walk. You know, God is very interesting in saving. He'll go to great lengths to bring things together for people to hear the gospel and to reach people. And so if we skip on down here to verse number 24, it says, and the morrow, when they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and near friends. I want you to see the fourth thing about this person is he was a man of influence. He was a man of influence. You know, if we go back earlier in the chapter, you see that he was a devout man, one that feared God, verse 2, with all his house. With all his house. You know, his household followed him. That's hard to do. It really is. You know, when you see somebody like that, well, not only their life is God's got his hand upon their life, but their house follows them. Take note of that. I know Jess and I, we always look for people that not only they're doing right, but their kids are doing right. And we always try to take note of those people and try to pick their brains and try to learn from them. And that's something God has used that in our life to help us with our family. And so he's a man of influence, of people in the uniform. The officer has great influence. Great influence. Yeah, it's you know, you we had a with our food outreach. I mean, it was crazy. People everywhere. But, you know, it was easy to tell who had been in public safety, who had been an officer. These guys, I mean, they just rise up. They just come. I mean, you know, Chris, Josh, Glenn, they just go into mode. And they just start directing traffic. And they got influence. And people get in line, okay? When those guys would go into action, the people just followed them, okay? Great influence. Great influence. Our military. That's one thing why we have people all over the world is command presence. Command presence. When an officer in uniform shows up, there's a command presence, and people just get, they just, you know, that's one thing with police. They do proactive patrols. If you just put the presence of a vehicle in a neighborhood, the crime and things will go down just because of the command presence, because there's an influence. God uses these men for great. They have great influence on people around them, and so let's look here. Let's see God's heart for the officer. God's heart for the officer. We see why God will use these men. Why God uses the officer, but God's heart for the officer. And the first thing he wants them to be saved. He wants them to be saved. So he orchestrates these things. And in verse number 34, Peter opened his mouth. He's talking. He says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteous is accepted with him. Then God sent unto him the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. So he preaches to him Jesus Christ. If we go on down to verse 39, the Bible says Peter looks at Cornelius and says, "And we are witnesses of the things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged upon a tree." So he preaches unto him Christ crucified. Not only Christ crucified, but verse 40, it says, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." So the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the gospel.
Amen.
Not only he died for the sins of all mankind, but he rose from the dead. That is the great differentiator between Christianity of the Bible and all other religions out there in the world. No one else rose from the dead. No one else. Jesus rose from the dead, and he had victory over death. He had victory over sin, and he wants him to be saved, and he gives him the gospel. And I tell you what, people that work in the uniform and the officer, they're some of the best people. They're very helpful people. But just being a good person and being somebody that does much good in the world is not enough. We must be saved. Cornelius was a good man. He was a giving man. He was a sincere man. He had a great influence, but he was not a saved man. And he had to come to a place of salvation. That was what God orchestrated in his life. Maybe you're here listening to me today, and you're a good person. You're a giving person. I tell you, you're a sincere person. You've got great influence, but you've never come to a place of salvation. God wants you to be saved today. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. Have you ever put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you ever been born again? I'm thankful that God is going to orchestrate this in this man's life, and he's going to come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not only he wants him to be saved, but he wants him to be used. He wants him to be used. And, you know, there's numerous mentions of the officer in the Bible. And a lot of times these are the hardest guys to reach. They are. And why is that? Well, you think about it. You see the absolute worst in people all day, every day. You do. It affects you. If you're bombarded every single day with just, I mean, I grew up in a town in South Carolina, and I didn't even know things went on in that town until I started working in an ambulance. I didn't know these places even existed. I couldn't believe people actually did. You know, it was eye-opening for me to see that. You know, and that's difficult. That's why public safety is like a family. They kind of stick to their own. They stick to their own. But what it's important to see is that, hey, the grace of God can overcome. All right? And this is a sin-cursed world, and everybody is depraved at their core. And a lot of times we just see people's best, but we all have that tendency in us, but we see that, hey, God can change people. God can use people. And when people are awakened to that, all right, when these guys, when they get it, and they get saved, and they get active, and they get faithful in a ministry, they're the best guys. They are. They understand authority. They understand leadership. And you cannot, it's a wonderful thing. God will use these, and God will use everybody. God has a special role for everybody. But I want you to see specifically, this is their day. We're giving them honor today.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
And I want you to see in the Bible how God, he just highlights that. How he's got a plan for these guys. Oh, I'd like to have this church full of. I'd love to see lots of police officers. I'm so thankful for Brother Chris. I'm so thankful for many of you that's worked public safety. I would like to see lots of police officers come. I'd like to see lots of EMS, lots of fire. I'd like to see, you know, I want everybody. But God's got a great plan. God wants to use them. And when you focus those, when you channel those tendencies, okay, all those tendencies that really come into effect to be used as a person of uniform, and you channel that into the bringing glory to God, man, you've got, that is an eternal things. It's not going to be lost. God's going to honor that. He's not going to forget. He's going to reward that in your life. And so he wants them to be used. And then lastly, we see that he wants to influence them for good.
He wants to influence others for good. And if you want to, I want you to look back here. We mentioned this earlier that he feared God with all his house. His house followed him. Same thing with the Philippian jailer. When the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" He got saved, and what? The Bible says his whole house got saved.
Amen.
You guys that are in a place of an officer, you serve as an officer, you have a great influence on your family. You have a great influence on people around you. You have no idea. I want you to look down here, verse number 24. Bible says, "And tomorrow when they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." Not only did Cornelius hear this, but he called a bunch of people together, and they came. They were there. He had a powerful influence. You never underestimate the impact that you have on other people. God will use you in a mighty way. You have a powerful influence. People are watching you. A lot of times it's easy to get just kind of burnt out and jaded with just the bad things that happen in society and the dishonesty and the just all that you constantly have to deal with. And it's easy just to kind of retreat and just say, you know what, forget about it. I'm just gonna do my thing. I'm gonna cope with however I cope. That's what a lot of people do. They find their ways of coping. They've got their people they hang with. And I'm not gonna go to church, and I'm just gonna stay out of public unless I'm working. You know, that's an error. Oh, that's an error. Because you could influence people for good.
Yes.
And when you do that, people are watching you. People are watching you. And you think, no, nobody's watching me. No, they're watching you. I want you to see in the Bible here how these men had powerful, powerful influence. What's your life? I remember Preacher Frank, we were praying for him earlier. He preached that message last time he was here about living a life that impacts others. And your life can end. How is that this morning? Does your life impact others for good, for God? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I want to ask you this morning. The first thing is God has a heart for you. He wants you to be saved. Have you ever come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? It's not enough just to be good, to be a giver. Those are all good things, and you should be devoted. But he wants you to be saved. Maybe there'd be somebody here today to say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I can't say that I've ever come to a place in my life where I called upon Jesus and I asked him to save me from my sin. I don't know. I just don't know if I've ever been saved. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand this morning? Anybody here this morning say that? Maybe somebody out there on live stream. Maybe that's you today. God wants to save you today. You call upon him. You call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just ask him. You ask him to forgive you of your sin. You place your faith in Christ alone. There's nobody else that can pay the payment for your sin except for Jesus Christ. That's the only gift that God will accept. And when you believe in Jesus, he'll save you. He'll save you. He'll be the payment for your sin. He'll impute his righteousness to your account. It's a wonderful transaction. It's called being born again. I encourage you to do that today. God wants to use you. God wants to use you, and he wants to use you to be an influence to others for good. Maybe you'd be here this morning and say, you know what, my life is just, it's just become a little more self-centered than it should be, and I want God to use me. I want God to use me to be an influence to others around me, and I want you to pray for me that God will help me do better at that here this morning. Did you lift your hand this morning? There's many hands, many hands. Oh, what an impact we can make. What an impact we can make. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for good attention here. I thank you for all those that have served. I thank you for the officers and the military and public safety and the sacrifice they made. God, I thank you, Lord, for your love for them and that your desire for them to be saved. God, I pray if there's someone here not saved, someone listening that's not saved, I pray the day would be the day of salvation. And God, I pray you'd help us all, Lord, to be used of you, to be an influence for you. How you use Cornelius in this passage, and he impacted his family, how he impacted his kinsmen and his friends. God, I pray the same would be true in our life. God, I pray you'll have your will and your way in this invitation time. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet as she's playing softly. The altars are open. God spoke to your heart this morning. I encourage you to come and pray.